All right, so we are October 23rd, 2017, the third day of Mar Cheshvan, Tavshinayin Ches. We are up to what?
It's easy this month, 23rd.
Ah, okay. Okay. We have another week, I guess, of it being.
Yeah, for the rest of the week.
October's 31, so it's going to be thrown off. Okay. And then, so we have a lachadei of Perek Aleph of Vayikra, and we have an interesting little sugi here, side sugi here. We're going to have this conflict, I think, through much. Do we do like a halacha topic from the psukim, like a halacha topic that is specifically about korbanos, or do halacha topics of things that are learned out from the psukim? That's going to be a give and take. So this is going to be from the psukim, and it's from Rashi. Rashi on Pasuk Gimel says, that's the wrong Perek. Rashi and Pasuk Gimel, the Pasuk says, Imola korbanomin habakar zachartim im yakrivenu, you're going to bring the ola from your flock, say male, a full zachartim im yakrivenu, al pesach o moed yakrivoso, lirtso no lifnei Hashem. So what does it mean, lirtso no lifnei Hashem? So says Rashi. Rashi makes the comment. Where is it? Yakrivoso, milamid shekofenoso. We learn from here that you can force the person. Yachol bal korcho, I would have thought maybe it even goes against his will. So tamalomar liritso, no, but it still has to be his ratzon. So yakrivoso, we will make him bring, right? Yakrivoso, he will be made to bring. And liritso, no, then, is, but it still has to be his ratzon. So I would have thought that it only would be against, so we learn from that we could force him against his will. I would have thought maybe totally against his will. No, it has to be he wants to do it. Well, how do you do it against his will and make it that he wants to do it? So haketza, how does that work? So kofunoso achiyomer rotzani, we force him, we beat him up until he says I want to do it. Okay, so that is that's what happened. The Torah Tamima here points out and says where exactly this is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. It's also a Gemara in Arachin. So in Maseches Arachin, the quote says, "Well, Yaakov was so malavish shekofenoso k'sivu l'sono haketza kofenoso achiyomer rotzani." Says the Torah Tamima. How do we figure that? That how does this make sense that it's going to be against the will, but he says rotzani, etc. Because everybody really wants to do it. Everybody in the innermost self wants to do it. L'kai mitzvah Torah el sheyirtzu yach el sheyatzu miskaberla, but his itzahara is stronger. Right, noa mitzor keep straight builds himself up against him to keep him doing the mitzvah. So misivas yitzar akesef kamohacha v'lachein. Plus, for instance, for his desire for money, v'lachein kofenos here. Meaning here, what would keep him from bringing a korban? So to keep him from bringing a korban would be because he doesn't want to spend the money on the korban. And maybe there'll be other excuses. The Yitzhar might not build up on him in that particular way. But okay, v'lachein kofenos sheigal adayit mimash tamim lepnimius nafsho v'ayim baramam. Okay, but so therefore we force him to uncover the innermost self, the innermost essence of oneself, which really desires to do the mitzvah. This is the Rav Soloveitchik in Nefesh HaRav quotes this idea. Not necessarily. There's another very prominent case where we say kofenoso achiyomer rotzani, probably more famous than by korbanos. What is that?
Divorce,
right. That language is used by divorce as well. Kofenoso, we beat the guy up until he says, I want to do it. It's necessary for him to say, I want to do it. So how does that work? Rav Soloveitchik quotes this idea and connects that to the Gemara in Nida, where it talks about everybody has a neshama that they learned all the Torah from, and then when they come and they're about to be born, they forget all the Torah, and then they have to go ahead and relearn it. So what's the point of that whole thing? So the Rav explained that has to do with pintalayin. Everybody has a little bit of a Jew inside of them. They still have the essence of being a Jew inside of them, and that's really what's being uncovered with regards to this. Fine. So he says, but it says the Torah Tamima Achlechor Ein Mavur Minalei Mila Gemara Lefarish Yakrivoso Bal Korcho. Where did the Gemara know that Yakrivoso means against his will? V'dil Machad Maimeru. Maybe it's just one thing. He brings it. Yakrivoso Lirtso No Rak Lirtso. He only brings it if he wants to do it. Maybe the pasuk is specifically telling you that you don't force him to bring the mitzvah. If that was the case, it would have said, his desire would then be to bring it. The fact was, that's the way that generally writes it. That it writes the ikar tchila, writes the main thing first. But the fact that it says he brings it, bringing it is the main thing. And then lirtsono is not the main thing, but yet it still has to be lirtsono, still has to be that he desires to do it. So we'll force him to bring it against his will, but we're going to make him utter the words rotza ani, that I want to do it, before he goes ahead and brings it. So that's what's deduced from these psukim. So this concept of kfiyah b'mitzvos is an interesting one, and Rav Asher Weiss points out that there's really two different things. We got two of the cases where this appears. Number one is the Gemara about the divorce, and the story about the Karbanos. They're kofana so achia merotzani. So then there is another scenario, other Gemaras that discuss something else, that is a slightly new, there's a slight difference between them though. And that is, the Gemara is a Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos, as well as, I believe, in Maseches Chulin, where it says there, that somebody says, I don't want to make a sukkah, or I don't want to weave the lulav. What does the Gemara there say? Makin oso achat teitzei nafsho. We beat him up until teitzei nafsho. What does teitzei nafsho mean? Yeah, until he dies. Right? We beat him up until we kill him. That's what the Gemara literally means. Now, what... Is there a way that he wouldn't get killed for deciding that he doesn't want to build a sukkah? So yeah, he could go ahead and build a sukkah. We will go ahead and beat him up until he goes ahead and does this. But there is a slight nuance here. On one hand, by the korbanos and the get, it says we beat him up until he says rotzani. It doesn't say that we actually go ahead and kill him, although that might be the implication. By the Gemara Maseches Ksuvos, it says we do beat him up until we kill him. And or until he does the mitzvah, but there is no necessity for him to say rotzani. Right? He never, at no point does the Gemara there say, until he says, okay, I want to go ahead and do it. We don't wait for that. We don't wait for that point. It doesn't seem to be any requirement that he do that. So what is the difference between these two things? So first, one has to ask yourself, where does this idea come from? What is the premise that allows us to go ahead and beat someone up until he goes ahead and does mitzvahs? Right? I understand we should beat him up until he pays shul membership, but then he goes ahead and he hasn't paid and he hasn't done his mitzvah yet. Who says that we're allowed to go beat him up? So there are three possibilities that he discusses here. So number one is the idea of, well, if I were to ask you, where would that come from? The idea that one can go ahead and beat someone else up until they come to Minyan when Mincha gets early. What?
Nefesh wants to do it. I mean, your soul.
Well, they want to do it, but what about me? I mean, I understand they want to do it. So that's going to allow... Why does that allow me to go beat him up? No. I'm the good guy. I'm the one who... Max needs people to come to Minyan. Max is going to Minyan. We don't have to force Max to come to Minyan. But what gives Max the right to... beat him up until someone comes.
Brings up with divorce. Why do we have such a problem with aguna if you could do this? I mean, if you can force.
Right, because in theory we could. Yes, that's the way it used to work. But nowadays we live in the United States of America, and unfortunately people get arrested for beating other people up.
So
it's a little impractical.
There's a case where it actually happened.
There is a case. There was a case a couple years ago. There was somebody that was arrested for.
He refused to give this woman again.
There was a group that would do this. That would go around. They would beat some guys up, and surprise, surprise. Ultimately, yeah, a bunch of rabbanim. Yeah, they were put in jail. Right. So part of the interesting part of that case was that they would charge the girl's family like someplace in the realm of $100,000 to go ahead and do this for them. So that sounds pretty extreme, right? So it makes it sound worse, puts a bad taste in your mouth because, oh, they're making money off of this. But if you think about it, yeah, but there are other... if they get caught, they're going to go to prison for 20 years, which... could happen, right? So it's not such a crazy amount of money to ask for. I mean, they're really risky. But anyways, that in theory does exist. I remember one time Rav Schechter came into Shir. This was in the early days when Ora existed. And Rav Schechter is the posek for Ora, which is the organization for the resolution of Agunos. And they attempt to do social pressure to do it. They'll stand outside someone's house and protest and go to their place of work and protest and take ads and things like that. So I remember one time he came to Shir and said something along the lines of, we should do what they used to do to these people. We should beat the out of them. As was his line. But yes, so that is, there is frustration that you can't, but on the other hand, it's not practical to really use that. But what is, just in terms of mitzvahs, now focusing on the mitzvah, that's sort of a case that's been Adam L'Chaviru case, but here in terms of the mitzvahs aseh, of putting on tefillin in the morning, or showing up to minyan, or shaking a lulav, or bringing a korban, although korban is a little different, because there you need to say rotzani. What is the halachic force that allows me to go ahead and beat someone else up so that they go ahead and do something else? So there is a very important language, which is, you know, using a much nicer tone, and that is, well, what allows somebody to make kiddush on behalf of everybody else at the table? Why is that allowed? So the answer is, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh. That every Jew is responsible for one another, and therefore, to make it a little more lundus, my fulfillment of the mitzvah is not complete until I've allowed everybody else to do it. So that doesn't just allow me to be motzi you, your kiddush, but even allows me to make kiddush a second time in order to be motzi you. My obligation is not complete until everybody else has completed their thing. So that is a simple understanding here. That's just part of my responsibility of Arvus, but that it could go ahead and say, and I'm going to beat you up until you do it, so that's a chiddush, but that is one possibility. There is a Rashi, Maseches Arachin, where this Gemara is talked about. It says, the Pasuk tells us, and it's somewhat of a cryptic Gemara, Lo tisna sachecha bilvavecha. That's what the Pasuk says. You cannot hate your brother in your heart. So says the Gemara, Yachol lo yakenu v'lo yisterenu v'lo yikalenu. I may have thought that you're not allowed to hit him, you're not allowed to slap him, you're not allowed to curse him. Tamalomar bilvavecha. Therefore, it tells you in your heart, you're not allowed to hurt him. But maybe b'sina shebeleva kasal adaber. So it's hatred in the heart. So what does that Gemara seem to imply? So Rashi reads the Gemara as follows. And then there's the second half of the Pasuk, which isn't mentioned here. Mentioned at the end. The Pasuk tells us, Lutisa sachecha bilvavecha, you're not allowed to hate your brother in your heart. Anybody know what the second half of the Pasuk says? Hocheach tochiach asamitecha. So you're not allowed to hate your brother in your heart. Rather, hocheach tochiach, what does that mean? Rebuke. Go and give rebuke to them. I mean, don't bear the grudge. Go and rebuke them. Go and do something about it. So says the Gemara, don't hate the brother in your heart. I would have thought that you can't hit him, slap him, or curse him either. Therefore, it tells you in your heart. So therefore, Rashi says, so what are you allowed to do? Beat him up. Right? You're allowed to beat him up in order to, as part of your tochacha. That is the way Rashi seems to be understanding that Gemara. Don't hate your brother, don't keep it inside, go and beat him up in order to allow him to do it. So maybe that's the source for this mitzvah. Why are you allowed to go beat him up? Because that's included in the mitzvah of tochacha.
That's a big leap, but to rebuke is one thing, but to physically beat somebody up is quite a challenge.
Yeah, so the Rambam doesn't read the Gemara that way. Let me say that here. The Rambam reads the Gemara differently. The Rambam reads it as where'd it go here? Kolasoni Echem Yisrael over. But if you hate your brother, you're violating a lotase. It says lotisachem alvecha, and you can't beat him up. But in lokan alav zel, and you don't get malchus. What's this? Inpo ma'isa v'lo hisir tor ella al sinish belev al hamakas chaver v'hamacharpo. Even though you're not allowed to do that, you don't violate lotisaneh. Rather, what are you violating? You're violating beating him up. But there's no additional prohibition of hating him for just beating him up. That's what that's the way the Rambam learns it out, but not doesn't seem to be giving any license towards that.
Why won't they levy a fine or even lashes? You know, like they
would. Well, that perhaps is what you're going to do.
It
lashes.
Like a vigilante mob.
Ah, so that's a question. Hold off on that. So is this just an individual, meaning Max is annoyed that he doesn't have a minion, so he goes and drags some guy out. Well, he would drag him to shul first, and then, or the guy who said he was going to come and doesn't come, so then Max will go and drag him out and beat him. Right? So is that what we're, is that what we're talking about, or is it a Beis Din? Right? Is it Beis Din, or a person authorized by Beis Din? Or,
so why is it with the Machis instead of with physically? I've never seen that.
Well, maybe that's what it means. But the word just says mach, that you beat him up, that you get the guy to go in and do the mitzvah.
But Machis has to come from Beis Din.
Yeah.
Machis is then Beis Din.
Why can't Beis Din do Machis for a person in that situation?
It's not included in the mitzvah of Machis. I mean, there are specific rules and regulations that provide for when we give Machis and for when we give Mitas Beis Din. Beis Din itself has the right to act outside. Right? The Gemara tells in the Sechah Sanhedrin, Makan Ve'onshin Shalom in Adin. A person has the right to give Makos, and a Beis Din has the right to give Makos and to punish outside the realm of Halacha. And the Gemara actually gives a couple examples of when that actually took place. They have the right to do that. There is a Torah-regulated course of action, and then there is Beis Din has the right to act outside of that.
In this case, rather than
that, it is. Well, you're assuming that it's a mob. We haven't gotten there yet that this is a mob. Does a single individual have to do it? You might be right. We'll get to that in a moment.
I'm saying beating up infers, with your fists rather than machis, which is a kind of like an organ, a specific.
Okay. Okay, there's one more possibility as to what the idea behind this is. I mean, one thought is, again, that this is the din of Kol Yisrael Avirim Zel Zeh, you have a responsibility, so this is part of your responsibility. Number two is that it comes from the mitzvah of Tochacha, the mitzvah of giving rebuke. And the third idea is that this is just an example of punishment. And that idea comes from Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Shuva, no relation. At least that I know of. Atanada ber be'inyan onesh bitl mitzvah asi. Now I'm going to tell you about the punishment for violating mitzvah asis. And what is that? Amru Chazal, im yasira se'ish la'aso sukkah lulav ve'inu osa. If you tell a person to go make a sukkah or go and shake a lulav and he doesn't do it, makim aso ad shetetze nafsho. You beat him up until he dies. What's the implication of that, Rabbeinu Yonah? That it's a punishment for not doing the mitzvah asi. Now, says Bruce, well, wait a second, you beat him up until he dies, why don't you find, this sounds pretty harsh, it sounds harsher than doing other things. So there is a Rabbi Dov Lipman, when he was here, he shared this, I don't remember if he shared it publicly or privately, but he shared the following story, that he was involved with passing legislation. There are, in Israel, you know what they do in Israel with agunos, people that are not giving their wives get, what do? Put them in jail. Right, so there are dozens, from what I understand, men who are not giving their wives a get, and they're sitting in prison. So Dov Lipman wanted to pass legislation. He said he spoke with the chief rabbi, with Rabbi Lau, I guess, at the time. And Rabbi Lau said that if you pass a law that if you're in jail for not giving your wife a get, you are not entitled to mahadran meals. Mm. Right? I mean, the food will still be kosher, but you're not allowed to, you can't get the special bedatz hechsher. Right? You're going to get the non-bedatz meals, you're going to get the non-chol of Yisrael meals. But it'll still be kosher. So he told him, he said, if you do that, I bet you 10 men will give their wives a getz right away. Because there are a lot of these guys that are in jail. This is the way he describes it, that they're in jail, but these jails have black kosher meals, they have a base medrash, and they sit and learn all day. They just happen to be in prison. So if you get rid of that, so then for these people, so then they'll give their gets right away. So he wanted to pass it. He wrote up the legislation or whatever, and he got objected to it. The objection to it, there were some who objected that it's just a violation of religious freedom. But he said the attorney for the Knesset. I forget how it works exactly, but apparently it has to get passed through the attorney. The attorney has to make sure that it's good before it gets passed on. So the attorney calls him in and says, I don't understand this at all. If you go and you're a mass murderer, you just happen to be machbit on these things, so you get the mahadran meals, and you get the, right, and you get to live in the base medrash jails. He said, but this guy who's just not giving his wife a get, why is he not entitled to that? He said, no, but there's a big difference. The guy who's in jail for doing murder, he's violating something that he did in the past. The guy who's in jail for not giving his wife a get, he's in the middle of the violation. He's still in the process of it. So perhaps that's the same idea here. That that it's worth, for a person, you know, for what he did in the past, so what's done is done. Okay, we're going to give him a punishment for what's done is done. But when he's still in the process of not doing it, so perhaps you are entitled to give him a greater punishment in order to encourage him to get his act together and take care of what he needs to take care of. It sounds like he'd never pass. Not while he was in Knesset. I don't think it's fast. Yeah. I think the left wing parties were against it of all people because they said it's a violation of religious freedom. That was the. I believe as of the writing of his book and the last time he was in town to speak, not passed. Okay. So now we have the following idea. So there is a ktsos, the ktsos achoshen in sif gimel sif katan aleph. He says the min hatorah a yachid. So is this a beis din or is this a yachid? Can a yachid, can a single person go in and do this? I'm annoyed. This person, or I think this person should do the mitzvah. I'm going to beat him up. Yeah.
Are we being specific now to
karbanos? So hold on a second. Hold on. So hold that thought. So right now it's kind of just a mix of these two things. There's all these things that Basin forces to do. Some of them seem to have this caveat of Rotsani, but okay. But so the Ksos asks the following question. Can a single person do this, or do you need a Basin to do this? So he says, the Minatora Yachid Yachaladun Dini Mamanos, that a Yachid could go ahead and do Dini Mamanos, Enu Yachal Lichvos as Bali Hadin, that even though a single person could go and judge Mamanos, he is not able to force the Baal Din to carry out the verdict. The Ein Isui Ela Bevestin Shel Shlosha. V'chein B'chol Kfiyah Ein Kofin Ela Bevestin. And so to any time that there is a Kfiyah, any time that there is a forcing of somebody to do something, so then that's talking about a Bevestin. Meaning only Bevestin is entitled to go ahead and do this type of thing. A single person is not allowed to go ahead and do this. So the nesivos there, if you look at in the back of Chosh Mishnah, the two people that are constantly fighting with each other, actually on the page of a classic Shulchan Aruch and the newer Shulchan Aruch in the back, are the Ksos and the nesivos, and they were contemporaries of one another. In fact, they say that the Ksos and nesivos, the Ksos is much more popular than the nesivos. So they asked the nesivos once, why is it that the Ksos was so popular, or maybe the nesivos asked Ksos, why is it that your sefer is so much more popular? And he said, well, the nesivos, what do? How do you write your sefer? He's like, well, I learn a sugya and then I write it up. So he says, no, I learn the sugya and then sleep overnight and then I write up in the morning. I think that was his word. So something like that. So that the ksos is more popular. People learn the ksos and they learn the nesivos. Then it happens to be that they both wrote questions, svarim, to answer up the other one. So there is the meshoviv nesivos that the ksos wrote, and then there is the, I forgot the Nesivos' response. Anyways, so the Nesivos asked the following question from a Gemara in Bava Kamma. The Gemara in Bava Kamma tells, Adaf Chav Tes Amada. Adaf Chav Tes Chav Ches. Adaf Chav Ches Amada Aleph has the following story. Minayin L'Nirtza Shekalu Kol Yomav. A Nirtza, whose term is over. What is a Nirtza? Nirtza is a guy who suffered through an entire Seder, and now he's up to Nirtza. No. A Nirtza is somebody who had his ear pierced. Actually, I shouldn't point to ear, it's here. Right? He had his ear pierced, he was an Eved Ivri, and he wanted to stay on, so he had his ear pierced. So he's called a Nirtza. So now the Rav, the master, wants to get him out. Rav Masariv Lo Latzis. He wants him to leave. V'chavol v'asabo chabura. And in doing so, the master inflicts a wound on him. Shehu Pater. So the master is Pater. Why? So Tamalomer Lusiku Chofer Lashuv. As the pasuk tells us, you cannot collect a payment in order to return Lotziku Chofer Lashav. You shall not collect payment for one who returns. Meaning the Nirtza is not entitled to be is not entitled to payment for damage inflicted by its master. Okay, that's the Gemara. So the Gemara then asks, Hachamayis. What are we talking about here? Of the Ganvar, talking about a slave who was once a thief. So in such a case, I understand why the master would suffer. It doesn't want to wait to go to. So the Gemara wants to know, why does he? the master, this proves that a person can enforce the law himself. He doesn't have to go to court. I mean, why is he not half forced to pay? Because he could have gone to court. He didn't go to court. He's doing it himself. But yet he's exempt. So what does this prove? This proves that he can go and carry out the din himself. So Gemara asks, well, wait a second. If he's going to go through the entire period of court, what's he nervous about? He's nervous about this guy. He's a ganav, we're talking about. That's how he's there in the first place. So he's a robber. So he doesn't want to go to court. But then the guy's going to steal the stuff while he's gone. So Gemara asks, well, wait a second. He didn't steal anything until now. So Gemara says, well, yeah, but until now, he wasn't about to leave. Now the Yovel is coming, and he knows that he's not going to have any repercussions, because Yovel is coming, he's going to leave anyways. So therefore, the person's nervous to go to court. So Gemara rather says, you're right. Rather, we're going to say the following. If Nachum or Yitzhak Amar, we're talking about Be'evid Shemaser Lo Rabo Shilcha Kenanis. We're talking about a slave whose master had given him a shifcha kananis, so ad ha'idna hetera, until now he's permitted to sleep with her, v'hashta isura, and now on it's aser. So therefore, what's the baal allowed to do? He's allowed to get the baal. The baal's allowed to take the slave and kick him out, right? And force him out. Force him out, and what are we forcing him out to do? Says the Nesivos. But why he's forcing him out so that he doesn't violate the prohibition of being with a shifcha kananis. So what do we have? An individual slave owner not going to basin. That's the point of the whole Gemara. He's not going to basin. Rather, he's forcing the person out on his own. Right? Keep making sure he doesn't violate a lotase. So it says the Nesivos, you see that an individual is permitted to go out and do these things. So Xos responds by saying, and he says, and he answers in the Meshoviv Nesivos, right? His answer is a little safer that he wrote to answer the questions of the Nesivos, and he says, I'm right. He asks the Nesivos, he says, if that's the case, so then why does every Gemara, when it talks about the beast and going after the person, make sure he gives a get? You don't need a basin to go ahead and do that. An individual could go ahead and do that. Why do you need a basin? So rather, he says, there must be a difference between kfiyas on mitzvahs aseh or mitzvahs on lotaseh. That's the Xos's response. So it says Rav Asher White, he says, I'm not sure why you would want to make that distinction, but I'm going to make a different distinction. He says, I don't think that there's a difference between ases and lotases. Rather, what? Elo bein eila shenemar behen kofun oso achetetzi nafsho, shebehem kol adam yachul chafos le'ila debein behu achumarot zani. Rather, he makes a distinction now between what Sam wanted to make the distinction, right? That when is it a person allowed to do it himself? That's when it says kofen oso ashetetzi nafsho, that an individual is technically permitted to go ahead and do it. Now, would I recommend it? I'm not sure I'd recommend you go ahead and do that, but that is actually the halacha. A single person is allowed to do that. As opposed to what? As opposed to when it says kofen oso ashe omer rotzani. When it says kofen oso ashe omer rotzani, what is that talking about? That's referring to a beis din. That's referring to an act. That's referring to a beis din going ahead and doing that. So why should that be? Because he says, only Beis Din is able to decipher whether the person really means Rotsani. Right? That is a job that Beis Din has. The person says, oh, I'll do it. So that's not enough for a single person to pick up on. That's something that Beis Din has to establish. So Beis Din establishes that this person, they'll say Rotsani. So now he turns around and says, okay, so now what's the difference? What's the big secret? Why is it that by Karbanos, we require the person to say Rotsani, we require the person to say, I want to do it, but by regular mitzvah saseh, we don't require the person to go ahead and say, I want to do it. So what would be the distinction between the two? So he gives three answers. He says, number one, by regular case, we don't really, it's not really in our hands. It's not about whether he says rotzani, right? But the mitzvahs ase in biyadein l'chof, we can't force him. El shlo yivatel. Aval in biyadein l'chofu ad sheniyah betuchim sheyikayim. Meaning, our idea is not to make sure he fulfills the mitzvah by saying rotzani. We just have to make sure that he doesn't forget the mitzvah. That's all he's doing by mitzvah. It's not really in our control to make sure he does it, right? The person could say whatever he wants, but whatever he has in his mind is really what's going to count. Aval beget, within a get, the person biyad habeist in lachof achim arotzan ikideshin avtiach hekshar a get v'lonat eishas ishliyama. When it comes to the get, it's not about him, it's about someone else. Right? When it comes to waving a lulav, who are we concerned about? We're concerned about him waving a lulav. We're concerned about him waving a sukkah, sitting in a sukkah. When we talk about forcing him to bring karbanos, so who are we worried about? Not necessarily him. There's other people involved, like, for instance, the kohen. If the guy is forced to bring a korban and he doesn't really want to bring it, so then the kohanim are in violation of shechita, of kachim chutz, or bring chulin in the base of mikdash. If he doesn't really do it, so then the kohanim get in trouble. If the guy doesn't really want to give his get to his wife, so it's not just him that gets in trouble, it's the wife that gets in trouble, because she's going to go ahead and think that she's permissible to marry. So therefore we need Beis Din to kind of certify that he says that he said rotsani. That's answer number one. Answer number two, he says, when he says rotsani, it's kind of a meaningless statement when it comes to other mitzvos, because if his heart doesn't want to be yotze, he's not going to be yotze. As opposed to by a get and a korban, those things have to do with somebody else, and we have a rule when it comes to something else, dvarim shebelev einan dvarim. When it comes to two people in a business proposition with one to another, and one person says, oh, I really had in mind that I wasn't going to pay you $100, I really was going to pay you $50. Well, guess what? We have a rule, dvarim shebelev, something that's in the heart, einan dvarim, is not really relevant. That's answer number two. And answer number three he gives here, Be'efsha o be'pashas yaseiris derak beget uva korban kofan asachi yomorot sanit melvad gilui ritsono eno sarach lasos davar. That basin heim shekosven nosen. Because when it comes to get and when it comes to karbanos, what's he doing? He's not actually doing the mitzvah. In those cases, what's he doing? He's saying, okay, fine, here's my signature. Or here is $50 to go ahead and buy an animal. Right, that's all he's doing. He's just having somebody else do the mitzvah for him. So therefore he has to say, okay, I want to get it done. But when it comes to a maisa mitzvah, an actual mitzvah that he's doing, so that's something that he's required to do himself. And therefore we can't have him, it's not an issue whether he says rotsani, it's just a matter of whether he goes ahead and does it. Okay, so again, the question was, this was a case by Korbanos and by Ged, it says Rotsani, I have to go ahead and Beis Din could force him to say, until he says Rotsani, while other mitzvahs, we don't force him to go ahead and do that. Right, we discussed why a person, what is the halachic justification for forcing somebody to go ahead and do mitzvahs, discussion about whether it's Beis Din or whether it's a yachid to do it. We have the distinction of whether that maybe it's only a yachid that does most mitzvahs, while Beis Din forces him to do Achi Yom HaRotsani. That's going to be the distinctions there. And perhaps three distinctions as to why certain mitzvahs require the person to say Rotsani, while other mitzvahs, we only require him to go ahead and do it. Okay?
These are only mitzvahs that affect somebody else.
No, sukkah, lulav, rotsani are only, only affect someone else, correct. Right, that was one of his answers. Was rotsani, was it of the effect that it has on somebody else, yeah.
Do we force for lulav?
Yeah, so we, is this done bisman as that? Not really. We don't go ahead and do it. There is also a question of if the person insists that he's not. I say, I'm not going to go ahead and do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in theory, we're saying, well, it's on us too. That's the Kol Yisrael Arayim Zelazeh idea. But perhaps the thought probably is, you probably cut your losses at some point. And there's also a question of what exactly does mean kafu? I mean, what exactly are we forcing him to do? Are we forcing him to go and pick up the lulav? Or are we forcing him to put his hands around the lulav and shake it with him? Right.
That's the own it, right?
Well, yes, yeah.
Oh, I guess time to go. Okay.